Thank you and welcome to Scripture on Creation. I'm Scott Kump.
And I'm Dr. Ben Scripture.
Dr. Scripture, we're going to consider another prayer found in the Psalms as part of our Prayers to the Creator series.
Mm-hmm.
And as we've recently celebrated Christmas, it's fitting that the particular reference you're going to discuss is actually directly related to the incarnation or birth of Christ.
Yeah, Scott. And it's very soon to be 2020, so Happy New Year, Scott.
Happy New Year.
Here we are 20 years into the 21st century.
Hmm.
I could say the time has just flown by, but actually, when I try and think back to Y2K, it seems like a long, long time ago.
Yep.
So much has happened since then.
Yep, and some changes and things that happened I've enjoyed, others not so much.
Yeah, well, if the Lord doesn't return, and if he gives me another 20 years, imagine the changes that will take place
in
the world and in our own lives. But whatever changes the future brings, they will be nothing like the change God the Son experienced when he took on flesh and became a human being.
He had to find that incredibly limiting.
No kidding. We're talking about change here. And it's that event recorded in the Gospels that we're going to see mentioned in Psalm 40. Now, without peeking, Scott, who do you think wrote it?
From past experience, I think it's pretty safe to say David.
Very good, Scott. So let's look at Psalm 40, and we'll see that as David so often does in his meditations, he says things about the Lord, what he did, what he's like, but then he also speaks to the Lord.
Making it a prayer, according to the definition we're using in the series, Prayers to the Creator.
Correct again. Now, Psalm 40 is 17 verses long. And we're not going to read the whole thing, but I do want to read the first four verses, which lead up to the portion of the psalm where David then starts speaking directly to the Lord. And it will be in the second section, verses 5-8, that we see David referring to something that involves God's miraculous, creative work. So, Scott, start reading at verse 1.
Okay, Psalm 40, verse 1. For the choir director, a psalm of David. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry.
He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm.
And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord.
How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud, nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Now that ends verse 4, and we see that David is talking about several things the Lord did for him. What are they?
Well, the first thing is the Lord listened to David's prayer.
Indeed. And what a great example for us in our prayer life. We can recall how the Lord has answered our prayers before. And that's a very real encouragement to continue to pray, isn't it?
Yep.
And what did the Lord do in response to David's prayer?
Well, he was apparently in some sort of trouble that the Lord rescued him from.
Yes, the Lord brought him out of the pit and the miry clay and put him on a rock.
Sounds like David was stuck.
And rather than try to rescue himself, what did he do? He waited for the Lord to deliver him.
It sounds like he treated this situation as if he were in quicksand. Struggling to get out yourself just gets you in deeper.
That's an excellent illustration, Scott.
Thank you.
I'm going to have to remember that one. But to wait on the Lord, you have to trust him, which is what David obviously did. And by doing so, he experienced the blessing of the Lord. So he said, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust."
And he had a new song of praise to sing. I wonder if that refers to one of the other psalms he wrote to be sung, or perhaps what follows when he starts talking directly to God.
I don't know. Maybe both.
Maybe.
But since you mentioned what comes next, let's read the next four verses.
Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count.
Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required.
Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me.
I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. So that concludes verse 8. Scott, do those verses sound familiar? By that I mean, have you heard them somewhere else besides just here in Psalm 40?
Definitely. Most of that passage is quoted almost word for word. I think it's in Hebrew somewhere. But as I recall, they're quoted as being spoken by the Lord Jesus.
Exactly. Starting with the words, sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired, and then going all the way to, I delight to do thy will, O God, is quoted in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. But as you pointed out, Scott, in Hebrews, those words are credited not to David, but the son of David, the Lord Jesus. Now, I'm going to read some of the context of Hebrews 10 to show that this passage is referring to something Jesus says. First, chapter 9 and part of verse 26, which says, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Obviously speaking of Jesus. And then chapter 10, verse 5 says, Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. So what we learn from this passage in Hebrews is, David was inspired, as he wrote Psalm 40, to speak the words that actually applied to his future son, the Messiah.
Isn't a psalm like that referred to as a messianic psalm?
Yes, and David was inspired to write many such prophetic passages. So then, before we focus on this quotation of Psalm 40 in Hebrews, I don't want to ignore the wonderful thoughts expressed in Psalm 40, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us there is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. So when it says, Many, O Lord, my God, we know David is now praying, so to speak. And what does he attribute to the Lord? Many are the wonders thou hast done. That word translated wonders is translated many different ways throughout the Old Testament. It generally is referring to something impossible, something that is extremely difficult for man. And oftentimes, it's even translated as miracles. And we all know how much David reveled in God's miraculous work in creation. Now, that doesn't mean that's precisely what David had in mind, you know, the idea of God's miracles in creation. But what we can be certain David was doing is he was marveling at the fantastic contrast between the demonstrations of God's power in performing all the wonders of creation, as well as his dealings with Israel. And yet, the Lord was thoroughly engaged in thinking about his people. His thoughts about us are too many to count.
Dr. Scripture, that sounds just like what David said in Psalm 8.
Yeah.
When he considered how God created the moon and the stars, and he was amazed that that same creator thought about David, you know, even cared for him.
You know, Scott, maybe it's Psalm 8 that David was inspired to write and sing when the Lord rescued him from the predicament he referred to at the beginning of Psalm 40, because those thoughts are very similar, aren't they?
Yep.
Anyway, the idea expressed in Psalm 40, verse 5, is truly wonderful for the child of God to contemplate. God's thoughts are continually toward us. In fact, they're too numerous to count. But let's get back to the words that David wrote in Psalm 40, verse 6 now. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. But they were spoken by Jesus, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 5, which says, quote, When he comes into the world, he says, Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast taken no pleasure, unquote. So the fact that the writer of Hebrews is referring to Psalm 40 is pretty obvious. But did you notice any differences between Psalm 40 and Hebrews 10?
Well, yes. The big one being David said, My ears thou hast opened. But Hebrews says, A body thou hast prepared for me. That seems quite different.
Good observation. So let me explain what's going on, and when we understand it, we'll also see the allusion to God's creative work and how it relates to Jesus' incarnation and birth. The expression, opened my ears, was actually a Hebrew idiom, which means to make the whole body. It was a picture going back to the analogy of the creator of man being like a potter. And we've studied many times how God as the potter is referred to in the Old Testament.
He handcrafted us.
Right. And so imagine the potter forming a human head of clay and then with his fingers pushing in the holes for the ears. Opening them, so to speak.
Sort of completing the creation.
Mm-hmm. Well, that picture of the potter forming the ears represented to the Hebrew the idea of the Creator forming the whole body of man. So, my ears thou hast opened is David's way of saying poetically, you formed my body. The author of Hebrews, then, is simply translating the meaning of that Hebrew idiom into Greek. And so he writes, a body. Thou hast prepared for me. Now, who is saying that?
Hebrews makes it clear that Jesus said that, which means Jesus was referring to the fact that his body was prepared by the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is talking about his own incarnation or his birth.
Exactly. The miracle of the incarnation was necessary for many reasons. But in Psalm 40 and Hebrews 10, what is being described is the necessity for the Son of God to have a body in order to be the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. That body had to die. All those meal offerings and animal burnt sacrifices couldn't pay for our sin. They were just pictures of the true sacrifice to come. The sacrifice that was foretold in the scroll of the book. The body of the baby Jesus. Its main purpose, to be able to ultimately fulfill his role as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And the Lord Jesus delighted in doing the will of his Father, who prepared that body of sacrifice for him. That word, prepared, is a reminder of the creative power of God. And shortly after this passage in Hebrews 10 that we've been studying, that word appears again in chapter 11, verse 3, which says, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God. That's the same word. Do you believe that God created the heavens and the earth? It was that same power that miraculously created the body for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That virgin birth, a miracle that so many struggle with, and yet maybe they don't struggle with the creation of the universe.
Well,
if God can do one, can he do the other?
I think so.
And who is that creator? The very same one that said, then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book, it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is written in my heart. And that's not what I say. That's what Scripture says.